when disaster strikes. Will you be ready?
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the monster hurricane and its deadly impact already.
When all hope is gone, will the government be there for you? If you're looking for ways to take your prepping to the next level, then you've come to the right place. Broadcasting from a secure and well-prepared location, it's time for Prepping 2.0. And now, please welcome authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Well, hello, this is Prepping 2.0. We are very happy to be here. I am Glenn Tate, and I would like to introduce my beautiful wife, Shelby Gallagher.
Hi, Glenn Tate. Shelby Gallagher here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. I would hope you would. We're married and
kind
stuff.
Kind of required to be. Right. It's a thing.
That's right. We're going to talk today about a topic nobody thinks about, or if they do, they think about it only incompletely. The topic is men and women taking advantage of each other in a collapse situation. Quite honestly, we can all have an idea about men taking advantage of women, and Shelby will be talking about that, and that's well documented. By the way, everybody, this is a family show. We're going to use respectful language with nothing graphic or anything like that. It's pretty obvious to everybody listening what kind of topics we're going to be touching on, at least when it comes to men taking advantage of women. But not many people think about women taking advantage of men in an SHTF situation. So I'm going to flesh out the idea and some of the ways that some women, could I accent the word some anymore or italicize it? Some women are going to take advantage of men and some men are going to take advantage of women. We're going to have to generalize in this. And so don't think that, you know, Shelby hates men and I hate women, because I'm telling you that I really like women and she really likes men.
I do.
Hopefully one in particular. And so we're going to generalize here. And another thing you need to understand at the very get-go is we're going to speak in language that might make some of you very bothered, not coarse or vulgar language. We're going to say things that are going to bother some of you, because some of you might still be trapped with your normalcy bias, trapped in the current world. The current world doesn't say things like, women will need men when there's no rule of law, and they will need security, and they might need food. And no one talks like that. And that sounds terrible and sexist and all that other stuff. We're going to talk. We're going to speak the truth. We're going to talk like that. And you'll see where we're going with this. So kind of, if you've been raised like me with, you know, your adult life has been all, actually even childhood has been all about feminism and everything, kind of hit that on pause and listen to what we have to say, because you need to hear about it. Why do you need to hear about it? Here's why. There will be situations coming up in a collapse that are abnormal to your normal way of life. Men taking advantage of women and women taking advantage of men, hopefully, is abnormal in your normal, yes, in your day-to-day, yes, life. Hopefully that's abnormal, especially some of the ways we're going to talk about some of the advantage taking. It's pretty extreme and dramatic. Forget about the modern era and just focus on what could happen, because you, I'll speak as a man here, might have women coming to your mutual assistance group or your area that need help, and some of them may try to take advantage of men. Also, as a woman, you might be in a situation, and Shelby can elaborate on this, where you might really desperately need a man, and you need to understand that these are situations to be avoided. Women, I'll cut to the chase. Women, you have to prep on your own. If you are married to a good prepper man, and we hope you are, then this is going to be less of a problem. But women need to take care of themselves so they're not victimized. Men, and this is the part that's going to surprise a lot of listeners, men, you need to not get victimized in all of this too. And that's the part that's rarely discussed. So allow me to start with the reason that things are so messed up right now when it comes to men and women.
We're not even in a collapse, but yeah. What's our baseline right now, Glenn?
Our baseline right now
is messed up.
Is messed up. And Shelby, what's the one word that explains why things are messed up between
feminism?
Yes, thank you. Feminism. Now, Shelby, do we mean that women are inferior when we say feminism is no good? No. What does feminism mean to you?
When I speak of feminism, I'm not talking about equal pay, equal opportunity. That was feminism back in the 1960s, those sorts of things. That has morphed into craziness, that whole original movement of feminism, I would agree with that. I think we all would agree with that. Women in the doing the same job as a man in a workplace deserve the same pay, all of that. But what feminism is now evolved into is the demasculinization of men and the masculinizing, if that's a word, of women. So what you see now is, oh my gosh, that little boy is being so mean because he's pushing around his friend or whatever. We see these classes on college campuses, the male anger and how to get it out of you.
Toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity. All of these sorts of things where we demasculinize. And that's pervasive. And then on the flip side of that, we have this women becoming so masculine. I don't know a good example of it, but it's what we have is men who are very reticent to be strong warriors, and we have these women who are kind of a little bit, they're male-like. I mean, elaborate on that. What are you seeing?
Well, yeah, and I think the point about women becoming more masculine, we see it in the feminist dream is you can have it all, ladies. Yeah. You can do it all. You can have a job, and you don't
have
need a man
kids.
To, yeah, you don't need a man to provide for you because men are evil. And so you can do it all. And by the way, you've got a lot of women out there. And I suspect this was your former situation where you're working all the time. You're trying to raise kids. You're trying to do all this stuff. I don't know of a single woman who is a feminist who is remotely happy. By the way,
yeah.
I say a woman who is a feminist, a lot of women don't know that they're feminist, and they might be mildly feminist. They might be strongly feminist. It is so pervasive in this culture, this feminist stuff, that most women don't claim
right.
that there's polling about this,
and,
by the way.
And there's polling about it. And not only that, we're about three generations in. So we have feminists raising feminists and raising girls and boys. There's only two genders.
That what?
I know there is only two genders. The biology says so, who are now, and now they're, and here's the thing, is that we find this whole generation of young people now having kids going, I guess there is like five genders. Okay, so, and we have this gender weird, how do you identify? And it's just, and this is just feminism gone off the scale. It's the demasculinizing of men and the power hungry women side of it.
And I'm glad you've mentioned demasculating men, because a lot of the millennial soy boy hair bun guys that we always make fun of, right?
We make fun of them, but they're a product of their environment.
And they're trying to be less masculine or unmasculine. And they're trying to look at how they try to please and impress women mm-hmm. by talking about how toxic masculinity is indeed toxic. And they think that's a way to pick up chicks, if you will. And so, by the way, the feminized males, and I don't call them men, I call them males, the feminized males are going to be a ginormous problem in a collapse because you're going to have all these weak little
confused,
you know, soy boys running around, and they've never had to
be handed a firearm and not know what to do with
Right. They don't know how to change a tire. They don't know how to do any of these things. And they're going to be a problem. So
they know how to log into their Tinder account.
Exactly. Exactly right. So that is the current state of affairs and why feminism has messed it up. Now, the law of the jungle. That's what I think, to varying degrees, varying levels of severity, we will see in a collapse. It will not be full on law of the jungle, you know, Conan the Barbarian kind of stuff and like, it could be, by the way, and in some places it might be. The more severe the collapse is where you are, the more you're going to see this reverting to the law of the jungle, which is strong men just grab women and do whatever they want. We're going to leave it at that.
Victimizing
and human trafficking and all this other stuff. And we've seen this in parts of the world in so-called peacetime. And then when things fall apart, men that just decide just to beat women and do terrible things. So it may not be that bad. And quite honestly, in this country, you know, I think it'll be not as bad because most men in this country have just been raised like I have to never hit a woman and to respect women and all these other things. And I think it won't be 0 to 60 on going to law of the jungle. But understand that the background reality in a collapse is the law of the jungle. So you've got this amazing clash. You've got Law of the Jungle, which is how it'll be to one degree or another, and this current feminized world. And those two do
not blend.
They do not play well together.
No, and there's going to be tragedy in that clash.
Exactly. And here's
and that's what we're going to talk about.
Exactly. Here's how it's going to play out in my mind. Now, I will start off with the unlikely topic of women taking advantage of men. We've established the feminist backdrop of current reality, so I don't need to repeat that. But here's how this matters. When a collapse hits, tens of millions of feminized or feminist women, they're completely unprepared to take care of themselves. Why? That's contrary to what they tell everybody about how they can take care of themselves. Yeah, they're living in suburbs. They're living on the grid. They, quote, take care of themselves by working at jobs to, by the way, pay the government an enormous sum of taxes, which is why the government wants women to work outside the house because they want the tax money. They also want the votes. The politicians want the votes when women are dependent. And you're going to talk more about that. I'm not going to steal that thunder. So you've got tens of millions of unprepared women who suddenly need stuff.
And then we have this, and they're in the urban areas, high density. Their neighbors are, you can look out your door and see the neighbors on all four sides. So close proximity to others, which is dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
So they need stuff, and we'll keep it at food. So a feminized woman, let's say a single mom with two kids, is going to need food for herself and those two kids. And now, here's where the charges of sexism will fly, and it's not going to work because it's not true with me.
Bing! They're going to bounce right off of us, Bing. Folks. We're just telling you reality. Take the labels off. This is what will happen, period.
Some women in current society, feminized women, manipulate men to small degrees or large degrees to get what they want.
What?
Not all of them. I know, it's crazy. I know, it's crazy. And so you've got unprepared, desperate women who, to one degree, some of whom, to one degree or another, are used to manipulating men. How's that going to play out? Like this. Knock, knock, knock. Hi, prepper guy. I'm an attractive 30-year-old woman with a couple kids. You're going to, of course, take care of me, right? Because you don't want anything bad to happen to me or my kids. And they'll use guilt. They might use enticement. We're going to use neutral words here. We are on a radio station, and we have FCC restrictions, so we're going to keep it clean.
A female enticement.
Female enticement.
And, you know, baby cow eyes children who look so sad and hungry.
And a lot of men, including prepper men, including me in my former life, by the way, so I'm not above any of this. We've been conditioned as feminized males to like, oh, geez, we better do that. We feel sorry. We better take care of everybody. And by the way, it's kind of a good impulse, but if you don't have the resources, it's not. So a lot of men are going to, oh, that's right, single men. More on that in a moment. A lot of single men, prepper guys out there, might fall for this and take in some women, a woman, and some kids, and think, hey, this is great. I'm the white knight. This is what I've always wanted to do.
I'm here to save the day. I'm here to save
these women. I believe this to be true in most cases. I'm a good Christian man. I'm going to help when I can. A fabulous, fabulous impulse. So let's say that this woman knocking on your door with her kids is indeed a manipulative person. So early on, things probably go well. You feel really cool. As things go on longer, she's going to want more and more of your stuff. And she, if she's a bad person, might have you wrapped around her finger. And then all of a sudden, everything is messed up for you. You're not making decisions, hard decisions like we're running out of food, that, you know, we need to eat less. Hard decisions like should we just be on defense or should we go on offense and go raid this enemy camp and try to take these people out before they take us out? All these hard, difficult decisions that preppers, primarily prepper men, are going to have to make now get complicated. What if, you know, the doe eyes, the batting of the eyes says, oh my goodness, you're not going to like go and hurt people. Remember, she's a suburban, feminized female who has never experienced any Law of the Jungle. And to her, she grew up on Disney movies where like Bambi like didn't even get hurt. Well, I guess Bambi's mom got
Disney
killed.
Disney movies that had was far too heavy on the princess culture.
Yes, exactly. And all of that. So all these important decisions you as a single prepper man are going to be making are now compromised because some women are going to want to take advantage of some men.
And what's happened in that scenario is that you have just agreed to
slavery
to some
of yourself,
but you've just created a huge weak spot for yourself in your preps. Weak spot for yourself in terms of your ability to feed yourself and that sort of a thing. So, and if I can jump in here, a version of this happens every day in America where single mom with kids moves in with guy because he's going to give her free rent and everything's great for a while until the kids start acting up or until, you know, the rent gets too high or whatever, and then it goes sour. So just take, we hear of that all the time. You hear that all the time. Now, just take that to a collapse situation, and now you're talking your life is at risk. Everyone's life is at risk in that situation, including the kids. And what's really sad about that, think about this in this situation. We have our open borders on the lower part of our United States. It's almost the same idea. We have undocumented folks coming into our country with kids, illegal aliens coming into our country with kids and using them to take advantage of us. It's almost the same thing. And why are we reacting to that so much? Because we know we are enslaving ourselves by allowing this. And when we create weakness in ourselves as a country because of the cost of that. Isn't that interesting? This very scenario plays out itself already.
On a bigger scale. And so in my books, I had a very specific mm-hmm. character who I created to illustrate this exact problem. And I know you have some in your books too. And we'll talk about those. And my character was Angie. And Angie was a beautiful young lady. And she, I hope I'm not spoiling anything. She's a minor character, so it's not going to be that much of a spoiler.
He's not giving it away, the book.
She was with a guy for about a month and then just kind of drifted apart. And she was being fed and taken care of. She's not an awful person. She was an art student at the local college. I don't know that I would really call her manipulative. I think that
she took advantage of the situation.
She needed to eat, and she had something that this guy wanted. Well, after she left the first guy, and it's not really explained why she did. Maybe in a sequel, I'll explain it. There's an actual reason. She goes to one of the functioning prepper places. And it's the farm, and it's not at Pierce Point, it's another place. And there's a guy there named Dennis, who's not a great looking guy, and he's a lot older than her. And she comes on to him and is very, very nice and sweet and flattering. And your heart breaks for Dennis because you can see what's happening. Everyone around him, his relatives and everyone else on this farm can see what's happening, but they don't want to hurt the guy because, you know, he's like, finally a girl likes me kind of thing. It's just... Oh, it's really heartbreaking because...
And again, we already see this in the dating world these days.
Exactly. Yeah. Angie's based on a real person and Dennis is based on a real person. And so Angie is obviously using Dennis. And by the way, not to Dennis's, like, you know, not getting him killed or anything. I mean, Dennis has plenty of food. He's on a functioning Patriot farm and he doesn't mind. In fact, he's very happy, but everybody else can see it. And so then... When things stabilize, I'm trying not to give away the plot here. When things stabilize, Angie just takes off. And Dennis is heartbroken for the rest of his life because he realizes that he was used. So there's one example of what I'm talking about.
And that's not even
about.
A tragic example. I mean, it's tragic in that a heart gets broken, but it could
have been... No one died.
No one died. But here's the thing. It could happen where a woman comes and she and the kids eat everything in your reserves.
Yep. And... Exactly. Or that gangster, you know, like in the next, I don't know, cul-de-sac or whatever the setting is, decides that he kind of likes her and he's going to try to take her. And now you're getting
now
in a
gunfight. Yeah. Now you're getting into fights over a woman. It goes back to biblical times, right?
Exactly right. You stole my thunder. So you have a couple examples in your books of women taking advantage of men. Tell us about that.
I do, and I wrote these characters very specifically because I wanted to break out of the mold of kind of the typical woman who... I just wanted to do something very typical and illustrate to men how women can be awful. They can be awful, manipulative, conniving, slightly crazy, mean people.
I've heard of this.
You've heard of this. It's in book 2, and I'm not going to go too much into it because book 2 has just a really dark side, and it gets really, really dark. And part of the two of the dark characters are, if you remember, in book one ends with Steve, who is Julie's ex-husband, goes back to Portland. That's all we know at the end of book one. Goes back to Portland because his ex-wife Mandy is there, and Joel, the son, has just found out that Mandy is pregnant. So Steve, ex-wife of the main or ex-husband of the main character, and Steve is kind of an older millennial type, a very feminized soy boy male that is very hard. It's very hard to get him to make a decision. He's a dreamer. He's
a nice guy.
Worthless in a collapse. Exactly, because he tries so hard to get he's actually trying hard to get things back to normal. Things are collapsing around him. He goes, no, we gotta get back to normal. Anyway, so this ex-wife Mandy and her sister Jody really become a team of evil sisters, and I don't want to give it away, but they realize very quickly that they can barter themselves to get things. They really kind of begin to hate males. They also become very vulnerable to the criminal element, and they realize and become very scared. So, and yet they learn how to manipulate it. See, that's the thing, is that I think in a collapse situation, just kind of mean, cranky women will find their superpower, and that will become worse. I think the things that we know now will become worse. So cranky, feminized women who are kind of power hungry will become worse in a collapse situation. And I really did try to draw that out with Mandy and Jody as these kind of almost like twin-like sisters, you know, kind of a superpower, super team together. But they're pretty diabolical.
Well, and one of the things, you're right, the bad traits that some, can I say that enough?
Some
manipulative women have are masked right now because there's no need.
There's no need
to cheat and be terrible to people because, you know, you can go to Costco or Sam's Club, depending on what part of the country you are, and get six muffins for like $4. And if you don't have a job, you got welfare. The government is rushing in to make sure single moms have welfare. So there's no real need to be cutthroat nowadays. That's point number one. And point number two is, with some manipulative women, they have these little feuds with other women. I mean, the classic example was that movie Mean Girls, right? And all of a sudden, and here's how this matters to you if you're a prepper, especially if you're a single male prepper. You take in some woman. Okay, great. You're the white knight. We'll see how that works out for you. What if the woman you take in has some nasty, unintelligible catfight with some other woman in some other household, and now the women are using the men to try to get at each other? I don't think that's going to happen all the time, but it's just another thing. You, the listener, the male listener of this podcast listening right now, you probably didn't even think of going into this, and you're nodding your head saying, yeah, I don't want to get drug into it. You know, listeners, go back in time to high school or maybe even middle school and all the catty, stupid, dumb stuff going on. By the way, men do it too.
And just we still do. It doesn't stop at high school. It just continues.
And I think we've masked it here now in the comfort that we have now, where we don't have life or death consequences. Nope. To, well, you know, why did you go to her party? Because she's a bad person, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, those are some ways, men, that manipulative women in a collapse can mess you up. So, yes, ma'am.
Well, and I will add this too. My main character in my books, here's the thing about her, is that she's that single mom in that situation, and she ends up depending on a man, her father, but it's negotiated, it's done well, they agree on things, and they...
No one's trying to take advantage of anybody.
So what I do want to say to that is... these aren't bad things. It isn't a bad thing if you put together a community and negotiate these things now, for sure, and make sure you know each other really well. But those decisions need to be made now and negotiated and thought through and agreed upon now, not after the collapse. Truly, if I can add that, and I'm not trying to minimize any of this because that's not the topic, but there are good situations out there too.
Well, and we're going to get into that
with
our solution at the very end of this episode, which is going to touch on that. And let me, without telling you what the solution is, it's my little way of manipulating you, the listener, so that you listen to the whole podcast. They're healthy male-female relationships are absolutely critical, are good, and will increase the survivability of all concerned, the man, the woman, and the kids. I'm going to say that again, and the kids, which is really important. So good, wholesome relationships, ones that are worked out in advance, as you were suggesting, among people who are decent and are not trying to take advantage of each other, are the solution to this whole problem. But I don't want to give too much away. Well, we are going to take a break here and come back, and then Shelby can tell you some of the ways that some men will take advantage of women in the collapse. So stick around and come on back.
We'll be right back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate right after this.
The Operator G1 is a full-featured, rugged, calm solution designed for the Midland MXT 100 and 105. Designed and manufactured in the USA, the Operator is an all-in-one support platform for two-way wireless communication for civilians. Using the GMRS bands, there is no ham license required and no test needed for operation. Ideal for preppers, hunters, homesteaders, ranchers, and people just like you. Waterproof when closed, this rugged system houses the Midland radio, microphone, and antenna, providing an always-ready, always-charged grab-and-go solution for emergencies or events, as well as an ideal solution for a base station or vehicle use. Powered by a 60 Ah internal battery, the Operator recharges quickly and easily using the supplied AC charger, the internal solar controller, or directly from a vehicle. If you recognize the value of wireless communication with or without grid power, the Operator G1 is an award-winning solution that allows simple, one-button communication when it counts. Our two-year warranty, quality materials, and first-class assembly technicians deliver a high-value solution when you need to be sure you can get your comms up. To learn more, go online to portableuniversalpower.com.
Do you need a custom Kydex holster or magazine holder? Glenn Tate's favorite custom holster and mag holder maker is Northwest Retention Systems. You can select your holster or mag holder color, including the I Miss America logo, and Northwest Retention Systems will custom make yours. While you're at it, look into the Scout Chest Rig Holster. Glenn loves his for vehicle operations and for fishing. Made by a young craftsman supporting a growing family of young patriots, Northwest Retention Systems products are 100% American-made with no foreign parts. Find out more online at northwestretentionsystems.com. And we're back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
And we are back. Now, the part you've actually been wanting to hear, Shelby's analysis of how some men will take advantage of some women in a collapse. Take it away, Shelby Gallagher.
Shelby Gallagher here. Hi. So here's the thing. I love this topic and I can talk on it for a long time. And this is kind of what, when I was first developing A Great State, you and I talked, I remember talking about this a lot.
Yes.
And it's the how men will take advantage of women. And where I draw a lot of my scenarios from in my books, I should say, and my imagination is from what I know has happened around the world. In Venezuela in particular, I draw from that a lot. Collapse situation. That country started out with a financial collapse that turned political, and it kind of was coupled together, and now it's in full-on collapse. People are literally escaping. Neighboring countries cannot handle the influx of refugees. But in that, every now and then you find these articles that come across the news feed of how women are surviving with their children. And what we have is human trafficking, women being kind of enslaved. Them and their children being enslaved in human trafficking without any choices. We also have women choosing to prostitute themselves so that they can feed themselves and their children. These are women who are professionals. These are teachers, scientists, professional women who are choosing that because that's the only thing that they can't. There is no money, and the last time I heard, I think to buy a cup of coffee is a year's worth of wages. So money has no value. What does have value? And this is a problem I think that's gone way back for decades and centuries, is that women have used their bodies to get what the things that not just what they want, but what they need. If you're hungry,
and what their kids need,
and what their kids need. Yeah, it's
sad. We are not blaming women at all, because it's, you know, your kids need to eat. And by the way, human trafficking, a subset of that, there's the usual part we all understand. A subset of that is innocent people, take the woman in your example, having to sell her children. Listen, preppers, prepper men and prepper women listening to my voice. Do you want to sell your children into sexual slavery? If the answer is no, and it darn well better be, then prepare.
Yeah,
those
exactly.
are the stakes. But keep going.
So with that in mind, and we know that that happened in Bosnia, and we know that it happens around the world a lot. Children trafficking, especially with the globalizing of America, just the globalization of the world and the ease of travel, children get trafficked. They get kidnapped and trafficked all over the world. So there's that. Now, I took that, my knowledge from that, along with the knowledge that this is what really scared me when I first started writing the books, is in the state of Oregon, which is where I lived at the time, we have a government that entices people to get on government assistance.
Become dependent.
So you have... And let me throw this in there here too. I've said this on another podcast. Over 50% of children born in the United States right now are born to a single parent, a woman. And so right out of the gate, children are born into dependence, because we all know you can, unless you're independently wealthy, to raise a child on one income at normal, since there's very little middle class anymore, you need government assistance to do that. You really do. So you're going to have some sort of food stamp, some sort of subsidized housing, some sort of something. So you have a very dependent demographic. We've heard this before. 51% of children right now are in dependent households of some kind. So we have this huge population of people that are dependent on government. So when this collapses, when Oregon's economy collapses, when California's economy collapses...
The United States economy collapses.
Who's going to be the very first victim? Those women and children. Because all of a sudden, and I play it out in my second book, all of a sudden, there's not as many food stamps on your, what they call in Oregon, SNAP cards. It's your WIC card. It's suddenly you had X number of dollars last month. Now you have 2/3 of that. And it's going to slowly get, and then pretty soon it's going to be, you know, coming January 1st, no longer are you going to have subsidized housing. It's going to get slowly chipped away. And now you have these women and children with nothing.
Not only are they dependent on the government for basics of life, the women in this example you're describing don't have the skills. It's not like, you know, you're living in Portland on basically welfare with yourself and your two kids. It's not like you know how to, I don't know, weld or homestead
or grow a garden,
fix cars for cash under the table. You don't have any of the skills that you need.
And barista skills don't work in a collapse.
They do not.
They don't. So what happens then is that, like what we know from other cultures and societies that have collapsed, women will do what they do. Now here, let me couple this with the other thing. Portland, Oregon, Oregon in particular, but Portland because it's the biggest city, is the number one city, at least in, I could have old data on this, but—
In the United States.
In the United States for human trafficking.
Portland, Oregon, huh?
Huh?
Yeah. Why is that?
Why is that? And I wrote about this in my book because I wanted to amplify why this is a problem. When you hear about human trafficking, children trafficking stings across the country, there was one several months ago in Texas. A lot of these stings happen because there's a newspaper publication business out there called Backpage. Backpage is what local newspapers use. It's a hooking up sort of page. In Portland, Oregon, the one newspaper that does that is the Willamette Week. The Willamette Week is owned by, or I believe it's owned by, for sure, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's owned by the husband of Oregon's Attorney General.
Oh, how convenient.
So for there to be prosecution, what would stop it is just get rid of Backpage. Seriously, that shuts the bleed off right there. It's getting rid of a Backpage publication in your community. Will that happen? No. Will there be prosecution? No.
And here's the connection between corrupt large government, yeah, like the government of Oregon, the direct link between that, Backpage, human trafficking, and you can see how dirty and rotten all this is.
So there's a huge stink there. So I look at Oregon, I'm like, oh, this is ripe. When there's a collapse, guess where human trafficking will find its
infrastructure.
Infrastructure will find its ground zero right there, because there will be no accountability. There will be no, and it's there, and it's already there. That's the thing. Human trafficking is already huge in Portland, Oregon. Just this last week, 14-year-old kid was found with a sex offender because of an online hookup of some kind. Happens all the time. And this isn't even a collapse.
Right.
That's what's sad. So in all of that, you've created this environment where men in particular who go searching for children can easily have access to them. Well, what happens when we get to a point where these children, these families, these mothers need to have these
men
hookups,
taking care of them.
Men taking care of them, whether it be paying or paying for a service or whether it be taking care of them. It will only get substantially worse. I think it'll be very amplified in Oregon. And so it's an example of women needing men and how human trafficking, the infrastructure for that right now will simply build. And so I bring this out a lot in book two, and I'm hoping I'm fleshing it out. So when you read this and you go, this seems weird that Shelby's writing about this. No, this is the hotbed that I was writing on.
You know, in my books, I have an example, actually,
yes,
there are several, of men taking advantage of women. One of them involves a little girl named Lupita and how she is ensnared in all of this. She's completely innocent. She's a child. She's just a wonderful, innocent little person who did nothing wrong. And then I mention in another book of mine, it's probably book 7 or 8, something that I also foresee is that some women, and this takes place in Seattle where people are better off in the collapse, and that is some women who occasionally go out and sell themselves. It's not the complete, you know, dependence and slavery that we're talking about here, to get kind of extra stuff. Yeah. And I don't paint them in a very favorable light, because I don't think that's, you know, I don't think that that's a good thing to do. So there's that end of it too on the spectrum. So, and if you look at a lot of prepper fiction, this topic comes up quite a bit. Yeah. Sometimes it's glorified, like, hey, dudes, wouldn't it be great to have 100 MREs? Because that's 100 girlfriends. And then other times it is, I think, appropriately, like we have in our books, described it as a terrible thing. So that's, you know, men taking advantage of women in those situations. I also see, by the way, and we've touched on the biggest and worst example of all this, which is the sexual stuff. I also see some men taking advantage of women and children, actually. Basically, like, you're going to work on this,
yeah,
farm,
indentured servitude.
You're going to get like a potato today,
mm-hmm,
you know, and it's slavery. And if you have to choose, it's better to have the non-sexual type. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's going to be, and it may not be as blatant as that, the non-sexual slavery. It could just be, you know, you're going to make almost nothing and do all this stuff because, let's say, a woman with children, she has no preps. She has no skills. She has no one to rely on. And when I say rely on, I mean a woman justifiably, wholesomely, appropriately leaning on a man, because it's a completely equal situation in my mind. Men wholesomely and completely honorably lean on and rely on women. And that's good. That's how it ought to be. So it's not always just sexual. And there's going to be another way this plays out: a woman who is in a desperate strait, to the extent there's still functioning law, and there may or may not be. By the way, after these collapses, there's some kind of accountability that comes back. There's some kind of law in some way, usually. Maybe it's like, hey, I need you to sign this deed. I need you to sign your house over. and in exchange for, like, you know, I don't know, a couple MREs or something. I'm making this example up. And maybe that happens. And then maybe after the collapse, if it's not as severe as it might be, maybe then that becomes a problem. There's a million ways to take advantage of desperate people. Look at world history, by the way. And those are all now in play because we're back to law of the jungle in a collapse situation. And we don't have all the niceties of
rules of engagement
of current society.
Well, and I will say this, let me add this to you. This is why I made Julie the heroine in this book, because she preps.
Yeah.
She simply preps, and inadvertently, she almost doesn't realize what she has saved herself from by prepping. And that's why I have such a contrast between country and urban. She is living in a, she's working hard in a prep situation, doesn't even realize what she has saved herself from. And yet the contrast to that is
the two sisters, but
I'm not going to give away anything, but there's more than one incident in, especially in book two, of the horrifying things that will happen to women and children. And I'm going to leave it at that because I don't want to give away spoilers, but I did that on purpose so that people could see it's not just one. You can get victimized, you can take taken advantage of, and you will become, may even have to become an evil person just to survive.
And here's a message directed at male preppers and female preppers listening right now. Male preppers, one of the best things you can do to convince that woman in your life that she needs to prep or that she needs to let you prep, whatever it may be, is you need to gently and calmly, no drama, you need to introduce the idea to her of what could happen to her, and if you have kids and your kids, if you weren't around. And I think she'd probably understand that you're talking about badness and being taken advantage of. Female preppers out there listening to this, be like Shelby. Prep and become as self-sufficient as possible. Read, and this is not a thing about buying books, read Shelby's books, book one in particular about how to prep, book two about why you needed to prep, and don't be trapped in one of these situations. It's so important to listen to this, because to listen to what we're saying, because it is entirely avoidable. All these horrible things we're talking about are avoidable if you focus on prepping. That's why we do this podcast. That's why we write books. We want the message to get out. That's why a bunch of our friends in the prepping podcast world and author world, or whatever you want to call it, do what we do, is to get this message out. This is fixable. This doesn't have to happen.
Well, and I will say this, I've done a couple of podcasts where I've talked about gender roles in the whole prepping community. And I will say this, I don't meet a whole lot of feminist preppers.
I don't think there is such a thing. I don't think you can have them.
Right. But what I do think is that there's an honest, awesome respect for each other and the gifts and talents that we bring to a community, no matter what our talents are. I'm going to tell you this right now. As a woman, I do not have physical strength. Now, will I go out and help move something heavy with a bunch of other people? Yes. Because
I've seen you pick up a washing machine and throw it in the back of a truck. So you got game.
Well, and I damaged it, but that was the point.
Yeah,
we meant to do that. But yeah, so I mean, I'll try. I will definitely try on those sorts of things. But I will say this, what's nice is that in a prepping community, there's the appreciation of gifts and gifts and talents, and we throw away all of this crazy making feminist crud that we've all just need to shake off, which is great. So, and I will add this, going back to my books, in book one, I really wanted to make it very practical and how a woman starts to prep. You can't just go out and start writing checks and buying a bunch of whatever. You have to be, if you're a single woman, you have to be very purposeful in how you do it and how you stretch your dollars. And you just got it. You can't do it all at once. And if anything, you also have to realize you do need to find a community of some kind that you can bring your gifts and talents to and add to. You're not going to be able to do it yourself. And also, I remember just talking to somebody recently, the buck stops with you. If you're the head of your household, the preps, the being able to provide starts with you. And same with protection. If you live in a city, which you probably do because you need the job, that's where you get your job from, home protecting the castle. It's on you. You need to learn how to use a firearm, and you need to be willing to put on the mean voice and hurt somebody if they come in your door. None of this calling 911 and cowering in a corner. Tucker Carlson's wife, call me. We need to get you some training.
Exactly. And you hit on something that is going to be the topic of a future show, so I won't talk
for too long
about it.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I'm getting it. I know, seriously.
No, not that at all. But men and women justifiably and healthily need each other. Men cannot do it all. Women cannot do it all. And the traditional roles, you know, the before 1950 roles of men and women in this country. And by the way, the roles of men and women in most countries for most of history. See, we are the outlier with this feminist nonsense. But men and women need each other. And I wasn't kidding earlier in this show when I said a man and a woman working together are unstoppable.
Yeah.
Absolutely unstoppable. The odds of you surviving and your kids, that is a key thing, and your kids surviving goes up astronomically. And that is what we need. We don't need dependent women being preyed upon by men, and we don't need men
being
preyed upon by
exactly.
women. We need equals who work together. And this is a bit of a segue into what you and I think is the solution to this problem of men and women taking advantage of each other.
We do. And I'm going to deviate a little bit from
Please
our
do.
Outline here because we've got some time. I want to go back to, and we're going to go back and we're not going to go too much into details. Back in the early stages of my book, and we're getting to know each other, and we both had our feminist scar tissue on us. We were in a situation where we were in a grocery store together and we didn't work together because we had our own preconceived notion. Let me tell the story here. We're in a scuzzy grocery store.
It's a scuzzy grocery store.
We'll just put it that way. And I'm you joke about this with me. This is how people get to know me, that I'm the creeper magnet.
You are the creeper magnet. Creepers, weird dudes
who get all googly-eyed when they see me.
Exactly. Are drawn to her like nothing I've ever seen. And she mentioned it. She was like, oh, yeah, this happens all the time. I was like, I didn't really believe it. And then I'm like walking around town and guys will come up to you and get like, you know, 8 inches away from you and like, hi, what's your name? I'm like, who does this? Well, apparently guys in your proximity do
this.
So this is for real.
This is for real. So we're in a grocery store, and I got to tell the story because you got to see
what
I
look bad in this story, but it's important.
But we both do because we didn't realize that we could act as a partnership. And this is a good example of how not to be.
Thank
and these
you.
Are good conversations for couples to have, and we've had the conversation since then. So we're joking around because we do, and you're one aisle over from me, and I'm looking at something, and I laugh, and I call out to you, and I look up, and there's this man standing there, and he's like, ha ha ha, and he's trying to laugh with me. He's trying to create a conversation with him. And I go around the aisle and I come back and I meet up with you. We are in this grocery store and we're walking around and it turns out like everywhere we kind of go, there he is. And I have noticed him. I'm not talking to you about it because I'm so used to being with my, at the time, millennial staff of people who don't look out for me.
And by the way, at this time, you and I are not married. We're friends.
No. We're friends. And I don't feel like I know you well enough to say, hey, this guy is creeping me out. Because I don't, here's the thing, at that point in my life, I don't want to be dependent on another man for my safety if I don't know what you're like. And I didn't know you well enough at the time.
Well put.
So this guy is following me around. We go through the checkout line. He's right behind us. We drop this big box of stuff. And so we're now on our hands and knees picking him up. And I look up and this guy's like right above my shoulder. He's right there. Everywhere I go, there he is. And my alarms are going up. I want to get away from this guy, but now I have to go out in a parking lot. And I'm thinking through this whole thing by myself. How do I defend myself? I'm not putting you in the equation because I don't know you well enough. And I don't know if I can put my safety in your hands.
And by the way, I'm 6'2", 230 pounds,
dude,
carrying a pistol.
And I don't know. Did I know that? Yes, I knew at the time you were carrying a pistol. That's the other thing. And I always forget to mention that in this story. This guy is creeping up on me with this, and he knows I'm with you.
Yeah.
So his ability to see, yeah, that's the thing, is that most...
He's creepy, lost his mind. He's crazy.
Yeah, to
I can flatten the dude.
Yeah, he's approaching me knowing I've got this big guy with me, right? So we go out and we get all our stuff picked up. I'm like, bye, go away. And I'm like, dude, Glenn, go. We're going to the car. We're going to load this up. We're going to get out of here. And we talk it through later. I'm like, did you not see the creepy guy? And you're like, oh, yeah, I was ready to pound on him or whatever. And I'm like, see, here's the thing, is that you and I could have worked so much more in harmony had we not made assumptions, had we talked through, and we've had that. Now, if something were to happen, we have a code word that we use. We have a, okay, if something happens here, you go that way, I go this way. And we work so much more harmoniously.
And here's the reason, because everyone's wondering why big Glenn Tate didn't do anything. And there's a really good reason.
Yeah, I was going to say, you tell your side now.
Yeah. And the reason is, I saw this happening. We just recorded an episode about normalcy bias and not wanting to look like you are, quote, overreacting. First of all, you're a friend of mine. I'm married to somebody else at this time. I'm not going to go full chivalry because it just seems sort of inappropriate. And the other thing was, I have been told my whole life that you don't use your fists, you resolve things with words, which I've always found stupid, and it's never actually worked that well for me. Fists work way better, by the way.
When you were in your previous situation, she didn't want you to act in her defense.
Exactly. It was. We're not going to rip on exes, but it was frowned upon, to put it that mildly. And I was made to think that it was like crazy, insane caveman behavior to do what I should have done, was when that guy got about 8 inches away from you, I should have looked at him and pointed at him with my finger and said, back off, she's with me. By the way, I've done that since then. It works remarkably well.
Yeah,
it works remarkably well.
Strong words work, kiddos. Yes, yes.
So there's an example of you and me not working together. You were in danger and I was not doing what I should have done because I was afraid to do what I should have done. And
honestly, it was the preconceived kind of feminized
thinking. Yes,
absolutely. She doesn't need my help because other women, my other situation says I don't need to help. And I'm like, I can't trust this guy because I don't know him. And guys in general don't help me anyway. Isn't that right there is the microcosm of why feminism is going to get us all hurt.
And exactly right. That's the problem. The solution is a man and a woman treating each other decently, obviously, as we do, knowing each other, being well-armed, and not being afraid to get in a fight, and doing what I should have done, which is saying, she's with me, step back. And that will solve the problems. But you see, we have to have authentic men and authentic women who are not messed up with all this feminist nonsense. That's what we have to have, and it's what we don't have in current society, but what we ought to have in a collapse situation. It's how to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, so we'll use that example often because I learned so much from that, and it was an eye-opener for me, and again, I think we have some time that we can kind of flesh out a little bit more, that I can actually work together with somebody else for a greater safety, and we've since then talked about tactical things, like how can we tactically work together, like, I don't know, in a mass shooting situation, in a... Yeah, it's been really fun. It's actually, and I feel so much more safe. And I think you do too.
And I have to say, after I went and, you know, made fun of guys trying to be the white knights and everything, I will say this somewhat contradictorily. I really enjoy being your protector.
Yeah.
It makes me feel fantastic. First of all, I'm free to all
that. It makes you feel like a man.
Exactly.
Don't tell the feminists that.
I know.
But awesome sauce to you.
I know. And it's good and it's wholesome and it's what I ought to be doing. It's what I'm created to do. By the way, does that mean that I'm sticking guns in people's faces or hitting them with axe handles? Nope. I can use my posture and the inflection of my voice. And so far, that's worked every time. And I hope it continues that way.
You've had a few interesting incidences since then. Creepers show up a lot.
Yeah, they do. Well, we've alluded to this, but now it's time to say it. Shelby, what is the solution to men taking advantage of women and women taking advantage of men in a collapse? What is the solution, in our opinion?
Marriage.
You knew this was coming. Here's what we mean by this. You know, when you've got particularly preppers marrying preppers, and guys, in particular, I know that what I'm saying is hard. I know that for every prepper man, there's, you know, there's probably 10 of you and one prepper woman, it seems like. Maybe that's not the case.
But we're going to try and solve that in a future episode. So
yes, we are. Yeah,
we've got some tools we want to share with all of you.
Got a way for preppers to meet each other. So stay tuned for that. But in our opinion, the solution is marriage. First of all, you've got a man and a woman, a real man and a real woman working together like you just talked about. That has been well covered. Here's the other obvious thing that marriage solves. And by the way, I guess long-term relationship works. I'm a bigger fan of marriage because it is more final and more certain.
And honestly, we're Christians.
And that's that. Here's the other problem that you don't have to worry about when you're married in an SHTF situation. I'm not the single prepper guy. I am Glenn Tate, husband of Shelby Gallagher. Beautiful woman with two kids knocks on my door and says, "Hi, I need some help. Would you be my friend?" And I can say, I can evaluate it very objectively. Does it make sense to help this person? Can I help this person?
And I'm part of that decision making, and I'm going to vet that woman.
Exactly as you should. I am not.
You are not, as a man, you are not the one to make that decision. I will give her the what.
That's an excellent point.
What skills do you bring? What gifts do you bring to this? What do you, right?
And so I don't, you know, I don't need a girlfriend is the bottom
exactly.
line. I am happily married. In fact, the idea of a girlfriend is very unappealing on a variety of levels. And so I don't need that. Now you describe how being married, especially to a prepper man, solves all these problems for a woman.
Well, it's a lot going back to the story that I just shared. I know that when I'm with you, I'm that much more protected. And here's the thing, when I'm not with you, I know how to take care of myself. I think that's the kind of the task that we as prepper women need to know. Our man is not always going to be around. We need to be able to do that.
And I want you to be able to take yes. care of yourself.
And also too, it makes it so that, and I'm hoping I'm giving you the answer you want, but it makes it so that two is better than one. I have skills and gifts that you don't have, and vice versa. So our prepping arrangement, our castle, is killer.
We're doing all right.
We're doing all right.
Team effort
after being in situations where we really couldn't. Yeah.
And the answer I was looking for, okay. that was a good one too.
I'm not sure what you want, what you want me to say here, sir.
You're not dependent.
No, I'm not dependent.
You're not dependent, and you don't need to hook up with some guy
exactly.
for anything
in a collapse situation, we're good.
You don't need to.
We are protected. We're good.
And your kids.
Yeah.
Your kids are also under the umbrella of security and provision, and you don't have the problems that all the women we've been talking about here have. But here's the thing: it takes a little bit of time. I mean, you have to meet people. You have to get to know them.
You have to develop trust.
Develop the trust. So this is not a wave of a wand. And you as prepper men have to seek out prepper women who want marriage, who want to be a real woman, who are not feminists. And prepper women, you need to reach out and find real prepper men. So I think that's a great place to end
yes.
this topic. I think you have some things to tell folks.
Well, first of all, we've alluded to, and we need to get it together, we're going to make it so that we're going to give folks some tools to meet other people and other communities. But I also encourage you, people always want to know how to reach us and find us and follow us. Your website, 299days.com, see some of the latest and greatest you've done, as well as find links to your social media. That's where you and I have the most.
Yeah,
on
Facebook
social media.
In particular,
yeah.
And some Twitter and some Instagram. It's 299 days, parentheses, the book.
Yeah.
Is and we have tons of stuff, four or five posts a day.
Oh, we do so much. We have a lot of fun there.
And you have a couple.
I do. My website is agreatstate.com. Again, find all the links there to go popping off into social media world. But here's the thing is that recordings of this podcast will be there. We're also going to be getting, don't go there now. It's just a under construction kind of page. Prepping 2.0 website will be coming soon. It's actually 2-0.com. Don't go there, even though I'm putting putting it out there. Don't go there. It's not ready yet. But we will be putting so many of the things we talk about and the links and the guests and the up-and-coming things. But also, too, just to put this on your calendar here soon, January 12th, Beaver Creek Armory. Join Glenn Tate and I there for a book signing, and you will have the opportunity to meet the real Ash, the woman who inspired the character of Ash in book one. And please read our books. We wrote our books.
To be read.
To be read and to get good ideas and to understand not just the prepping side of it, but the mindset about it.
That's a great note to end. Thank you. This has been Prepping 2.0.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate. Find out more about Glenn's books online at 299days.com and about Shelby's books online at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.